Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. Well, had you made any resolutions for the new year? More and more, I'm afraid we're getting away from making New Year's resolutions. For after all, resolutions are made to be kept and not broken. As the scriptures infer, it's better not to make a vow than to make it and break it. I wonder how many listening today have been down in the very shadow of death, and you promised God if He would raise you up, you would live for Him. Or maybe you were overseas during the war, in some foxhole with bombs and bullets all around you. You made a vow if you ever got home safely, you would begin going to church and serve the Lord. Did you keep your promise? The Bible says when you make a resolution or a vow or a promise, you're to keep it. In Ecclesiastes 5 we read, "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for He hath no pleasure in fools." In other words, in a desperate hour when you make a pledge to God, you are saying, "Lord, I really mean it. I'm not fooling." But if you fail to keep your promise, God calls you a fool. And He says He has no pleasure in fools. He's not pleased with fools. Your business was failing. You promised God you would tithe your income if He'd prosper you. Your wife was going to have a child. You promised to dedicate that little one to the Lord and bring it up right. Did you keep your promise? Well, maybe you came forward in a meeting to trust Christ, and today you're backslidden, away from God, enjoying your sins. God says you're a fool to go back on Him. He's not pleased with you. Oh, how will it be when you stand before Him and you have to admit you didn't keep your promise to Him? Hear me today. There are many who have made vows to God they are not keeping. And it's going to be a sad day when they stand in the presence of Almighty God. The same is true of marriage vows that have been broken. I'm afraid we have no idea of the seriousness of the marriage vow. Many have broken their vows made before Almighty God. They think that just because they were granted a divorce, that's all there is to it. But the Bible says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error." The Bible says that breaking the marriage vow and remarrying is committing adultery. And it states further, no adulterer will ever enter the kingdom of God. Some would excuse their past marriage as a mistake. But it must be remembered the vow was made before God and the holy angels. The scriptures we have just read says, "Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error." When the marriage vow one solemnly declares, whether in sickness or health, in adversity or prosperity, forsaking all others, they will love, honor, and cherish one another until death. To break this holy vow borders on lying, and to remarry is to add sin to sin. Again, remember the scripture we just quoted, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin." In a day of flippant disregard of the seriousness and importance of the marriage relationship, we would warn that the Scriptures does not condone divorce, except it be on account of unfaithfulness, and does not justify remarriage unless death has taken our loved one. Especially would we warn our youth, who are more acquainted with Hollywood stars than they are with the Holy Bible, that marriage is a serious proposition, a serious decision, that should not be entered into lightly. Oh, that we had prophets of God with the courage of their conviction to tell the truth, that it is unlawful, an unlawful relationship for anyone to break their marriage vows and remarry, except for fornication. When Herod, who was an unbeliever, married Herodias, his brother's wife, you'll remember John the Baptist declared to this great king, "It is unlawful for thee to have her." To preach that plainly today would find preachers losing their pulpits. But John lost his head. I'm convinced, however, had we more plain preaching like this, like that of the fiery evangelist, there would be far few divorces, and there would be less heartaches and broken homes. The Bible says, "Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." Again, I would warn you who made your profession of faith in Christ in a revival campaign, a Sunday school class, or maybe in your home you prayed. You invited Christ to come into your heart. You promised you would live for Him. And today you're living in sin. Instead of reading your Bible, keeping up your prayer life, attending the house of God regularly, you broke your promise to the Lord, and today you're away from Him. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says it would be better for you to have never known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Well, friend, if you've broken your promise to God, whether it be a marriage vow or a pledge of allegiance to Jesus Christ, I would beg you to repent rather than to face the awful consequence of standing in the presence of God and giving an account unto Him. The Bible says that everyone is going to have to do that to give an account to God. And if you do not repent of your sin, the Bible makes it very clear, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The Bible doesn't teach that after we are saved we can live as we please. Some are so foolish to interpret the Scriptures to indicate they can still live in their sin and still be saved. Surely God is gracious, and if we repent and turn from sin, God will forgive us. But on the other hand, to continue on in our sin after we make a profession of faith in Christ is to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, into loose living, and reaping the rewards of swift destruction. Perhaps you are one today who is caught in this web of sin of your own making. You may have broken your marriage covenant, doing so without scriptural justification. Or you may have remarried in disregard of God's holy commandment. Well, certainly, if you value your soul in the light of eternal truth, you will not justify your sin, but will seek to know the will of God in the matter. It must be remembered our Lord came not to condemn, but to save. And the Holy Spirit was given not only to convict, but also to comfort. And if you will obey God, you can know the peace of God. To the woman taken in adultery who came to call Jesus her Lord, you will remember how her sin was forgiven as Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." And to the woman living in adultery who had 5 husbands and the one with whom she was now living wasn't her husband, I cannot conceive of her going back to any of these men and claiming one as her husband. I picture her as something of a missionary, a true witness to the power and purity of Jesus Christ. In our cultured and enlightened age, it is perhaps unthinkable and unreasonable that anyone who failed to keep God's law concerning adultery should later separate and sever an illegitimate relationship. But this was not true in Ezra's day, wherein we find the people making a New Year's resolution to break off such relationships rather than to continue to live in disobedience to God's holy commandment. You may remember how God commanded the children of Israel, saying they were not to intermarry with the nations about them. But we read how the people of God mingled with the ungodly. Soon they adopted their customs, intermarried, which God strictly forbade. Even the Levites and priests failed to separate themselves from worldly practices. We see Ezra as he laments the sins of the people. He cries unto God, "O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God." Now you'll notice Ezra did not ask the Lord to forgive the sins of the people, for they still continued in them. It's a mistaken idea that some have, thinking as long as they ask forgiveness, everything will be all right. But the Bible tells us we are to renounce our sins, to repent of them, to turn from them. If we regard iniquity in our hearts, the Lord will not hear us. The children of Israel saw Ezra as he prayed and wept, confessing their sins to God. And soon there assembled a great multitude, we read. And then one of the men of Israel, Shechaniah, confessed to God, crying out, "We have trespassed. We have taken strange wives. Now therefore let us make a covenant with our God to put away all the wives, and such as are born of them, according to the counsel of my Lord." Beloved, when members of our churches begin to confess that they have done wrong, that they have disobeyed God, and when they show a willingness to part company with sin, then revival will come to our churches and to our land. And that's exactly what happened in Ezra's day. Ezra went on to counsel the people, saying, "Make your confession unto the Lord God. Do His pleasure. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." We read how the people made a New Year's resolution. But the loud voice the people answered, saying, "As thou hast said, so must we do." Ah, hear me, beloved. When once again the church accepts the Bible as the authoritative word of God, with its commandments and precepts binding and its promises true, and when once again confession and repentance and turning from sin and obedience to the will of God characterizes the lives of believers, we will see the greatest revival this world has ever known. Many have the idea that what was sin 50 years ago isn't sin today. And when Jesus comes and multitudes are left behind simply because they have not made ready for our Lord's return, we're going to see, I believe, one of the greatest revivals this world has ever seen. The scriptures make it plain that during the great tribulation, there will be a great multitude which no man could number of those who apparently were left behind, unprepared, not ready, careless, lukewarm, Laodicean believers. Concerning these we read, they came out of great tribulation, and they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Ah, beloved, now is the time to obey the Lord. Now is the time to turn from sin, to wash your robes. We read how in Ezra's day they made an end of their unscriptural relationships by the first day of the first month. In other words, they started the new year willing to obey God, whatever the cost involved. Well, friends, we are living in a desperate hour. Sin is abounding on every hand. But if all those who call themselves Christians would separate from known sin, we would see the greatest revival in our generation, and many would be spared coming judgment. To that end, may we pray and believe God.
Will you be ready to go when the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are faced with many crowns? Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.